Generate is supporting my vision to improve the financial literacy of 100,000 Kiwis by sponsoring Keep the Change. Cheers, Generate. Head to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to find out more. Getting in the KiwiSaver fund that suits you and your situation is key to making sure you're maximising your investment. Generate are an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of long-term performance, and they can help you do exactly this. Their advisors can meet with you to talk about all your options when it comes to KiwiSaver to help you decide what's best for you. Too many people never get KiwiSaver advice, but not you. Go to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to book a no-obligation chat with a Generate advisor. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited. And of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns. Welcome in. You are listening to a previously recorded podcast from the Keep the Change catalogue. Now, before you turn this off and think, no, I think I've already listened to that one, just remember that you might hear something in this episode that you didn't hear the first time round. That can happen because we change who we become in that time as well, and you may not have needed the information or the lesson at that time. So these lessons that are titled with an acronym to start, in case you weren't listening, are designed to bring you up to speed with some of the principles and some of the podcasts that people have said have really taught them something. Now, you might listen for a second time, or this could be the first time you listen because you've found Keep the Change later than other people. And that's completely fine. We're just stoked to have you here and listening to the podcast, increasing your learning. So please don't turn this one off. Get it in the old ears and let us know what you think. Welcome in. You are listening to another episode of the Keep the Change podcast. Luke and Mikey, late night in the studio. No, you are not listening to Gorge George Gorgeous FM or one of those other tracks, but you've got the two lads in the studio on a late night.
Quite a hypnotic tune, mate.
Maybe
that's just because it's 9:30 p.m. or 9 p.m.
We'll fade that back in a second. But you've got a hell of a topic for us tonight, mate. Break society's rules.
Yeah, well, I've just come back from Singapore and I didn't like some rules, and I thought about what societal rules there are that aren't laws that we all seem to live by and what ones are right and wrong.
This should be easy to unpack.
Yeah, so it took a while. I think there's more to this, but I've got 7 here, and some of the rules that are to be, oh, this song. This is the old Pink Panther, eh?
I thought he might distract you.
So some of these are just like societal rules that I think need to be broken for everyone. And there's a couple there that are more like societal beliefs that you should not partake in.
Okay, and if people break these, are they going to end up in jail or in trouble?
No, they're going to end up having a really beautiful life.
Oh, brilliant. Let's get started then. Talk to me from the top.
So, I think a couple of the rules. So, I mean, number one I've got on here is, we briefly brushed over this in another pod, is like, you know, don't be selfish. Never be selfish. And I think, break that shit. There's a time and a place to not be selfish. But you're no good to anyone if you haven't sorted out your own shit first.
I like it.
So like healthy selfishness is what I like to call it.
Oh, healthy selfishness.
Yeah. And
that's sexy.
And that's not meaning you don't share and have manners and, you know, whatever.
Don't be a piece of shit.
Yeah. I think taking care of yourself first is important. you're helpless to others, you know, if you're unhealthy and broke and, you know, useless.
In New Zealand, teach us. Please put your ear mask on first, your face mask.
Well, this is a true thing.
Yes.
Yeah, and then help others.
Yes.
Yeah, so if the oxygen mask falls from the ceiling, put your own on first. Be selfish.
And then help the kids, etc.
Yeah.
And that's healthy selfishness because they need you. People need you to be around to then help them out.
Correct. So it's kind of like a, I think, you know how there's this trend going around, and we're seeing it a little bit more probably, but you see it in giant corporates and everything where they're, you know, we're a non-profit and we're going to give away 10% of our profit and all of this stuff, and everyone likes this idea for starting a side hustle and shit like that. I think that's a version of instant gratification, which is toxic. Which is like checking your Instagram and getting how many likes you can on your photo, and you're doing it for like a quick rise out of something. But I've put here, do you reckon the charity would like 10% of your 80 grand income or a million in 10 years when you're minted? You know, like how do you...
Probably the latter.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, and what do you think you'd be able to do more in 10 years when you rock up and you've got some experience and stuff, and you could probably share that with them too and how to do stuff. And like if you want to be like that, do it later, but you have to be selfish at a point in your life, I think. And and like I said, healthily, in a healthy way.
Mm. Yeah, make sure that the business can actually sustain 3 years so that, to ensure that you're there at year 10 rather than, oh, well, we actually failed in year three because we'd given away our only profits, but we thought it was a thing to do because we said from day one that we were going to give away 10% of our sales, which turned out to be our entire profit.
Yeah, fuck.
And now we don't have a business.
It's a terrible idea. Don't do that, guys. So, yeah, rule number one, you know, society thinks
healthy,
never
selfishness.
Be selfish. Break it. Rule number two, this is a controversial one because I had to think long and hard about it.
So you say it anyway.
Yeah.
I like it.
Follow your passion, society says. And a lot of people say, I think break that rule unless your passion pays the bills. But mostly it won't, because passion is often coming from a place of creativity and, you know, like strength, skills and knowledge are analytical and useful. And they allow you to provide value, which equals a paycheck. So I don't fully partake in the, like, I'm really passionate about, I don't know, what's an example? You know, this table. Fuck this
cars.
Table. Cars. Yeah, well, cars. You could be passionate about cars, but it can be, like, if it's a really hard industry to make money in, you know, is your passion. Like, I just see so many people talking about, like, I really want to do this new platform and take on YouTube and Facebook and, like, all of this and...
I'm gonna build a platform for mental health only.
Yeah, I think like I thought about it because I find myself really liking what I do, and I think fuck that's interesting because I don't really agree with the passion sentiment. But then I figured out that I'm just passionate about business.
Yeah.
So mortgages and mortgage broking and the company and everything is just the vehicle that I'm doing it in. Mm. I reckon I'd like running any business.
Yeah.
So, you know, after a while, it took me a while to figure that out and find it, and that's cool.
Another way I've heard that explained, be in love. Follow your passion, flip it and go be in love. Be in love with something in your life and put time into that. So it might be, you might love playing the saxophone. Mm. So do that because that will build you up to then have more energy to do some of the things you don't want to do in life.
That's right. Like for me, it's always been like, I really like the idea of like, if the weather's mean on a Tuesday, if I can drop everything and go fishing, that's my fucking passion, right?
Yeah. But you ain't going to go fishing.
I ain't going to fucking make any money doing that. And if I did want to start a charter business and run it 6 days a week,
you probably
I'd fucking hate fishing.
Yeah. And I was going to say, if you could only fish, like how many days do you reckon you could only fish for before you realize, actually, you know what? Like I want to go do some other shit.
Yeah, I mean, it just wouldn't fit. So, you know, just be careful with that. I think follow your passion is an edgy one. It's a bit of a clickbait thing for people to say, and I don't think it's a good society rule. You should break it.
Yeah, it's probably been too oversimplified, and I think that a lot of people were probably, oh, you know, like, oh, follow your passion, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, work's fucking awesome. It's really good for you, gives you some structure, stops you from getting depressed. Well, like, people, not everyone's going to agree with that, but... we can't all just always work on our passions, or like maybe a few percent of people can, but I mean, I could do that if I wanted to with my horse racing stuff, but already I push it beyond the point where sometimes I'm like, oh shit, man, now I got to go to this. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be saying that. I should be like, fuck, stoked. I've been invited to this. But yeah. I'm like, no, I've pushed too far into my passion. And then the thing coming back the other way decreases. Mm. So yeah, I hear what you're saying, mate. I hear what you're saying.
This is another one that's a bit of the number one. So number three is like, wait your turn.
Wait your turn.
Break that.
Who says that shit anymore? I haven't heard that for ages.
Well, I think it's more about...
people probably do say that, though.
Yeah, I mean...
Do you mean... Yeah.
Great wealth and time freedom doesn't come from, you know... you're not in a single file line lining up on a queue for that. You push in front of the crowd at the stadium to get to the front of the queue so you can see the act. And... that's how you've got to act, I think. You can't just wait for stuff to be handed to you, and you know the timing's not ever right. And you know, I think it's a bad way to do things. I think we spoke about this about, you know, just hitting the go button a lot of the time. A lot of people think, and
yeah,
the right time to do that. We're about to have a recession. It's not a good time to get into this. It's not about to, you know.
Yeah.
I actually get hit up quite a lot about this because I talk quite negatively about the economy, but I probably don't translate it well enough because I'm super fucking optimistic about like my next 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's because I guess I'm speaking about the data that I see and not also giving my emotion of what I feel like I'm going to achieve at the same time. But don't wait in line. Like if you have a recession, it's the best time to start.
I like it.
And the best time to start after that is the year following, and the year following that, and the year following that, and the year before that, whatever, like, you know.
Yeah.
Don't wait in line, just go for it.
And even in a career perspective, I think a lot of people stay in roles too long because they're waiting their turn to get that next role above or whatever instead of going...
That's a good example, yeah.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm going to go make it happen for myself, or I'm going to go make it happen in this business over here.
100%.
I like it. Wait your turn, get fucked. Sorry. Just writing these down, mate. Writing these down.
Now, this is an interesting one because this is a bit of a mindset / rule, and it's been told, I think society's telling people to do this, and it's getting more and more as we head into a socialist society. Control your time by learning to say no. And I just think this is correct if you're Luke Kemmies. But most of us are not, and it actually it's a rule you have to break, but it's also something you need to manage in stages. I think in stages being when you're starting, if you're going to start a side hustle or, you know, trying to improve at work and take on more out, whatever it is, you have to say yes to anything, to everything. Yes comes as like part of the responsibility at the beginning to get something off the ground. And you have to take a hiding sometimes because yes equals growth and opportunity and no equals nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
So it's a, you know, it's a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I had to go through that one, especially getting up to Auckland, trying to start school rebates, then starting Next Advisory.
Every time you start something, you have to be the yes man.
And looking back at it, you know, when I start something, I'm always like, oh, fuck. And even, you know, some of the things I've spoken at this year, I just think, I know I shouldn't have said yes, but I say to myself, I look at my calendar and go, I can fit that in, and I just don't know who might hear it. And I think, I still need the practice, so let's rumble. So I make sure I'm getting something from it. But yesterday, hey, could you do an interview with me about why you do podcasting or something? And I said, sorry, mate, like I'm scaling, like I don't need to do that.
I'm scaling that thing back
just for your piece of content to go on LinkedIn or YouTube or whatever. I don't need to do that.
Yeah, well, what happens is once you get to that sort of level, certain things have literally nowhere near enough value because the hour that you're going to use it for is much more valuable with what you're doing for it. So that's when you start saying no because there is another opportunity.
Mm.
But basically, yeah, control your time by learning to say no is fucking bullshit. Break that rule.
So do heaps of yeses until you're actually back in control. Like, you're actually, you're controlling your time by controlling whether you know you should say yes or no.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so managing stages.
Number five.
Number five. This is striking when the time is right. I mean, we bring this up all the time. No, break that rule. You just need a strike. Yeah, you're not in business or starting a side hustle or saving an extra 100 a week or whatever. You're not fighting a war here. You're just getting stuff going, right?
It
doesn't matter if your savings account's 2.5% or 2.55. You just got to save because that's the idea behind it. Waiting for the right time just means you'll end up waiting forever.
Yes.
Because there's never the right time. You know, you'll be like, right, I'm going to do this in October. And then you'll have a fucking family member die or something. It'll fuck your head up. Honestly, it's happened to me. Like, I've done these things and I've been like, right, I'm going to start this thing in, you know, January next year. Boom. Like, something catastrophic happens in your life. And then you're like, that all gets passed. And then it's April. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to start in October. Something else happens. And you can't do that. You just have to do it and then manage whatever happens along the way.
So many people, I'm just going to wait till all the COVID stuff dies down and then I'll do it.
Well,
whatever their thing was.
I am lucky and I learnt this lesson before COVID happened, and me and you talked about it. As soon as the lockdown happened, we were like, fuck, we've got to double down.
Mm.
This is because we thought the world was going to end, but it's like, it's only one way out of here. You got to fucking go harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a thing that you have to train yourself into because it's not natural. It's like going natural is going to shell, take it easy.
Yeah.
Government will save us. Fuck the government. Just strike.
Just strike. How good. How good. I like that one. I said to a client this week, I'm ballsy enough now into, you know, 5 years into business. Oh, we just can't do that right now. Into excuses here. I said, no worries. We hear that all the time. There'll never be a perfect time to do this. But our clients that don't think like that, they're always the one that gets the results.
Mm.
Cheers. Talk to you soon. Sent.
Whew. It's good, eh?
Yeah.
And this is, as I was saying these, I was thinking, what else is there that I've learned throughout my long experienced life of 31 years? And I think I've been a shitty person, and now I consider myself a good person, and, you know, I feel like I've always have manners and things like that, and pretty respectful. So this one came up as nice guys finish last. I think that's fucking bullshit. Yeah. No way. So
that's just a poor me mentality. I used to have that.
Yeah. I think...
When am I going to get my turn? This is bullshit. I'm so much nicer than that guy. Like, I used to fucking have to comment myself all the time.
You can be... You can... And there's just no reason to be an asshole ever.
Why do the fucking rugby guys always get all the girls? Like, they're assholes. They're cheating on all those girls as well, and they get them. Like, nice guys like me that haven't been through puberty never get the fucking dates with the girls.
I think in business deals and negotiation, which I've had a few of now, more than the contract lawyers write up, more than anything else, respect and manners is like the perfect starting point for a baseline to get the deal on the heading and the trending in the right direction. I think you need to act constantly like... This goes for chicks too. I'm not just ripping in men here. This goes for chicks. Don't be bitches. But if you're... I think you need to think and act like your handshake is the contract.
Nice.
So it's really simple, but I think we don't really talk about these basics anymore. And no, nice guys don't finish last. There's plenty of nice guys that do really well and make lots of money and have successful companies and
some of them don't
even have social media.
Yeah.
You know, they're not on there flaunting or anything, so you don't see them and know about them, but they're good. Mm.
I had a conversation over the weekend, mate. It's really, really touching. A guy who had told me that he's got three kids and his partner... Well, wife, sorry, and they've been married for a long time, basically got up one morning and said, you know what, I don't think this is me, and I don't really like all the stuff you do, and don't really feel like we're on the same page, and he was sort of confiding, I think is the word, in me around some of the suggestions that he'd had of, like, ways to run the relationship, and she wouldn't be into it, and
I was like, mate, did this kind of like just happen or is this a gradual thing? And he's like, oh, now that it, you know, it's happened, I can kind of look back and realize that it probably, you know, was just staring us in the face the whole time. But he was in his early 40s and he said to me, you know, the tough thing now is just accepting that that's me, you know, like who, what sort of woman's going to want me? Like who's going to want a guy like me? I mean, I'm out, I'm done now. And I'm like, mate, fuck. And
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I went into full like, all right.
Come on, boy.
Pep talk time.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, that men fucking sitting at home doing next to fuck all and they're still getting women. So, you know what, mate? There's people that are going to love to date a man like you that are out there. You're ambitious. You're good looking. You're fit. And he's like in good nick. And I'm like, mate, stop thinking like that. That's fucking stupid, man. Like, get that out of here.
Yeah, get that shit out of your mind.
Yeah.
I think...
So it's not just young people either, right?
Yeah. Act like your handshake is a contract. If you do overpromise on something, then you are forced to overdeliver. Never come back and underdeliver, because that's a growing point for you in your life. It's a learning experience when you overpromise and you have to deliver on something. I like to promise and then overdeliver. Not to overpromise because it gets really hard to keep doing that.
Yeah, you're raising the bar.
And just remember that, you know, your personality will make you far richer than your intelligence.
Ooh.
You like that one?
Yeah. I was just looking off to the sunset there thinking, your personality will make you far richer
than your intelligence.
Yeah, nice. I like that because you could knock on a lady's door or a man's door and say, would you like me to clean your gutters? That's what I did for my mum. And you wouldn't necessarily know how to do it. But if you've got a personality that allows you to do that and to win them over and build trust and they say yes, then you go, not a problem, I'll come back and I'll do that tomorrow. You can go call a mate and say, mate, do you have a ladder and some cleaning equipment? But if you didn't have the personality that allowed you to do that, you wouldn't make the $50 to clean the gutters.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah, one of my, I've got 7 steps that the brokers go through to learn basically how to convert a client, and number 5 is humour.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so you have
make
to
them laugh.
Yeah, you have to do something in there that lightens it up, because we're talking about fucking serious shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a scary moment if you don't handle it correctly.
I was once told, I don't know if it's true or not, this might be one of those things that ain't that true, but it seems quite accurate. If you can't make someone laugh, they're probably not going to trust you and they're probably not going to buy from you. I thought,
That's so probably
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I think the laughter piece is probably they are comfortable with you. And so then they're more likely to trust you and therefore buy from you.
I'm quite bad. I laugh at other people's misfortunes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's not good.
Yeah.
I remember I was at the driving range one day, mate, just a little sidetrack here, and I was out of the bay swinging my golf club, just practicing, looking in the mirror, right? I was looking backwards in my swing, and my mate who's in the bay next to me, while I was looking backwards at my swing, I decided to swing down into a full swing, and he'd stepped back out of his bay, and I just... driver smack side in the face, and it dropped them, and shit. I just started crying laughing. It's not good. It's something I think my dad's got it, and he cursed me with it. So
wow,
yeah, don't slip over on a banana skin in front of me, because I probably won't help you. I've got to stop laughing first.
Yep.
Now number 7 is probably one of the more mindset ones rather than a rule, and it's just because I'm hearing. I mean, I guess it's always happened, and it's this thing about, like, I guess tall poppy that I hate, and it's a saying that we've heard, and it's, he was lucky with timing.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, nope, that needs to be broken. You can't get lucky by sleeping all day.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right. So, being lucky actually means that you've increased the probability of getting the chance at an opportunity. So there is a small chance that you'll never have an opportunity in your life. So it's a non-zero chance. But on the scale of 1 to 10, it's much closer to 10 than 0 if to get an opportunity in your life that might be considered lucky. Lucky is actually comes from you increasing the probability of something popping up.
So create your own luck by actually taking action.
Exactly.
Or getting yourself in the race.
You won't get a lucky business deal across the line unless you're in the business. You won't buy a really cheap house that, you know, has come up for sale because someone needs to get out and it's half price unless you're approved and in the position and got your deposit. And, you know, you can't get lucky unless you do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not lucky at all. It's, I guess it's opportunistic, but you have to set yourself up to be lucky.
Yeah.
All right.
Five and seven seem quite not similar, but my point would be, you know, five, strike whilst the time is right. And I think they're saying, like, strike while the iron's hot or whatever. Strike while the time is right. And then he, she was lucky with timing. You can only really say that shit looking back as well. Like, in the moment, you're not like, oh, fuck, this is real good timing. Usually you only know that.
You're just doing your job and you've got something else to do.
And then a year later, you're like, oh, with the benefit of hindsight, that was quite, quote, lucky, or that was good timing.
Yeah.
But
the reality is that, like, probably 5 years of doing what you're doing put you in the position, and you were in the office on that day when that person walked in, and it was because you were doing that job and committed to it at the time that you got to have that conversation, and that led to this.
Mm.
That's not luck. That's because you were in the office every day, and the chances of you being there were higher than John, who fucking takes six days
every week.
So there is a, I think, personally, I think that luck and timing can be a thing, but you can only increase your probability to have the chance of it. And if you continue to increase your probability, I tell you what, you're going to get fucking lucky in your life.
Shit starts happening, right? Yeah,
100%.
Did you make these notes on the way back from Singapore?
Yeah.
You've got a bit on, eh? I like it.
I know that I've got to fly out to New Caledonia on Saturday, mate, so I'm not going to be around for another set of potties, you know?
Oh, yeah, good man. We've been batching some pods here. This is good stuff. Okay, so from the top, we've got don't be selfish, but be healthy selfish instead. Two, follow your passion, bin that, and actually just be in love with something and just get going on something and spend some time on things you're passionate about to build up your energy. But this whole concept of, oh, just follow your passion and then the fucking world will just turn up and just give you a house and a great job and a bloody KiwiSaver full of $1 billion and a pot of gold and probably winning a lotto ticket. I ain't met too many people that's happened for them without having to actually work a shit ton on their passion. Number three, wait your turn. Fuck it. Like, take your turn.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, good.
Bang. Number four, control your time by learning to say no. Well, actually, no. Control your own ability to decide when to say yes, when to say no by saying yes a lot to start with in order that you can say no in the future. Number five, strike whilst the time is right. No.
Nope.
Take this, that thing people say, oh, have you... can I just take a couple moments of your time? Like, you've just got to take people's
time.
You've
got me right now, and you just lost me.
Guy today, cold called me from Queensland. Hey, Luke. Is this Luke from Next Advisory? Yeah, mate. What are you after? Oh, I threw him straight off the script. Oh, is that Next Advisory? Yeah. Oh, how you doing? Mate, what do you want?
Yeah, I say, do you need a mortgage? If not, I'm like too busy. See you later.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, shit. Now, you've just helped me. I'm going to say, are you looking for an accountant? And he was trying to sell me. Oh, you probably get 100 calls of these a day. I said, mate, honestly, I don't want to waste your time. You're best to call the next person because there's not a deal here. And, you know, that's just data.
Yeah.
Number six, nice guys finish last, only in the sack.
That's a shocker.
Sorry, mate. That's so bad. Can we edit this out? Yeah. Okay, can't be edited in the mouth. Nice guys finish last. Oh,
not a chance.
Yeah.
Manners, integrity, respect, just good handshakes go a long way.
Be a good human, you know. Even if, you know, male, female, just be a decent person. There's so many people out there that are just not. And so you can get so much further ahead by applying good attitude and respect and manners and looking someone in the eye, shaking their hand, having a bit of a confidence. You know, build your introduction up. Build your what you do. You know, what you're into, build three anchor questions you can ask someone else. Oh, what's your name? Oh, what do you do? Oh, how long have you been doing that for? Oh, what were you doing before that?
One of my favorite quotes of all time, and I made it myself. I just got to remember how it goes. It's written down in our booklet for brokers. So doing the basics really well is not new and special. Completely butchered this.
I tell you what.
Can we edit this out?
No, we can't. No. No, we can't.
Oh, dear. There's nothing new and special about basics, but doing the basics really well and consistently is new and special.
Oh.
Because lots of people don't do the basics really well, or the basics at all. So if you do them and continue to do them,
you'll be
a nice guy and you'll finish first.
Yes.
And nice lady.
I like it, mate. We have to get that quote put into the podcast. Number 7, she was lucky with timing. Well, again, like, how do you know that without hindsight?
Luck isn't luck. It's a word made up for an excuse for people because they didn't want to say to them, you've got good probability, mate, because you've put so much effort in.
You were here 48 of 52 weekends and you won the lucky draw.
No.
No.
I was just here every day until it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. There's the rules of society that need to be broken.
And I'm sure people can apply each of those to their life. There'll be things that you at home will be thinking about that you sort of live by and you've been taught as well. Some of them might relate back to money. A penny saved is a penny earned. Rich people are assholes. Your money is the root of all evil. Like, all of this shit, a lot of it's negative and it doesn't really help you. And I think a lot of this stuff is set up to make you stop. So if we just look at these rules quickly, like, oh, you don't want to be selfish, therefore you don't really want to apply yourself, you don't want to be seen to be, like, trying to get ahead or whatever. Follow your passion, okay, good excuse to not apply yourself at your job and then be like, oh, I'm a victim, I'm not really getting ahead here, but I'm working so much on my music stuff outside of work, but I'm not really getting anywhere with that. Yeah, well, does anyone care? Like, you know, you're trying to sell it or what's going on? Wait your turn. Oh, I'm just waiting my turn, you know, then I'll see what happens for me. Again, 5 years in, didn't happen. Oh, I can be a victim. Number 4, say no. Oh, you say no to everything. Well, then, you know, things don't happen. I had to apologize to a guy recently. I keep saying no to him about going out on his boat. I said, mate, I need to be really honest with you. That bores the fuck out of me. But if it means a lot to you, I promise you I will come one Friday. And he said, I would love you to come. I said, okay, well, I'll give you my word. I will come at some stage. Just, it needs to be a beautiful day. And he said, don't worry, mate. There's only a few hours of sailing. I'm like, 3 hours each way. Anyway, strike whilst the time is right. How are you going to know the time is right? You probably won't. Nice guys finish last. Oh, yeah, good excuse for nice guys. Like you and I, Mikey.
It's because it's easy to be an arsehole, so...
Yeah, you know, yeah. Well, I'll never get ahead then because I'm too nice at my work, so it's always the arseholes that do. And she was lucky with timing. Oh, okay, cool, sweet. You know, I might as well just not try anymore either because, you know, they've got all the luck. They've got all the timing. Like, I don't get any of that. Get to be... It's just all victim thinking.
Yeah. And it's like kind of what we're trained to think. So you just don't want to be like it. Break those rules. Get them out of your mind. Do the opposite.
Bloody beautiful, mate. Insightful lessons as always. Enjoy your time in New Caledonia, mate.
Yeah, mate. Can't wait. Fly out Saturday. Just a week. Another week. And this time, no Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. Shit. That's going to be... I might miss you for a week, mate.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, mate.
Yeah. You'll come back with probably a pad and pen.
What I learned on the boat in New Cal.
Right, mate. I just need to take everyone through the 20 reasons they're not getting ahead in their finances. So I've come up with them on the plane. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Do you fly up there, or what's it go?
Fly up there, and you fly into Noumea, then you have to drive to the very top of the island, which is Khmer, it's a few hours, and then we get on a boat, and then travel another, I don't know, 100 nautical miles in a boat into a place that doesn't get any fishing pressure, and it's stay there for 5 days, wake up in the morning, cast, and don't stop casting till the sun goes down.
Mate, enjoy it. You deserve it. Get it done.
Thanks, mate.